is Tuesday, November 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Myanmar's parliamentary elections received mixed reviews. We'll talk with our correspondent on the scene.
Party officials are growing increasingly nervous that the results are coming out so slowly, and one of the party spokesmen today has said that he thinks it's not just a technical issue, that they may be trying to engage in some cheating.
The United Nations criticizes Australia's refugee policy, and we look at what's next for the pop group One Direction. It's all ahead. Vote counting is heading into its second day in Myanmar, also known as Burma. International observers there are giving qualified approval to the historic parliamentary elections. I'm joined now by VOA Southeast Asia correspondent Steve Herman, who is in Yangon. Thanks very much, Steve, for joining me. How is the National Democratic League for Democracy? Apparently, that is leading so far in the vote count.
Yes, Sarah, in the trickle of results for the national parliament, both the lower and upper houses that have emerged so far, it looks very much like what the NLD is predicting, that it is a landslide. But party officials are growing increasingly nervous that the results are coming out so slowly. And one of the party spokesmen today has said that he thinks it's not just a technical issue, that they may be trying to engage in some cheating. Quote, they're trying to be crooked. So there's definitely also some concern being expressed about this part of the process by the international observers, who remind us that the success of Election Day, the peace that we saw throughout the country, and the very few problems at the polling stations, that's just one part of the process, that this post-election process, the post-voting process, is part of the election still.
What have been the comments by the leader of the NLD, Aung San Suu Kyi, so far to the rather slow election results?
Well, she is expressing confidence that her party is going to take around three-quarters of the votes and capture more than a two-thirds majority of the seats, and that is absolutely critical for the NLD, because if they're able to form a government and have an absolute majority in the legislature, then they can somewhat neutralize the power of the military, the legislative power of the military, because 25% of the seats are reserved for the soldiers, and that effectively has given them veto power. And what the NLD will want to do is to change the constitution, to take away the reservations of key ministries for the military, as well as the 25% reservation of the seats, and to get rid of that clause that prevents Aung San Suu Kyi from becoming president.
Well, has the military-backed ruling Union Solidarity Development Party, have they commented yet about this process?
Well, we had a comment from the acting chief of the governing party, who lamented about the poor performance of the USDP to this stage, but they're keeping quite silent. And also, Aung San Suu Kyi has advised the candidates of the NLD not to speak to the media, not to make comments on social media, and to stay basically pretty mute while the vote counting is continuing. So I think we're in a phase right now where everybody is being pretty cautious, although we have seen a number of candidates from the USDP concede defeat. And to the international observers, that is something that they say is encouraging for the process, because they're accepting the outcome of the votes.
Is it known at this point how long the vote counting will continue?
Well, the Union Election Commission, the national election body, which was appointed by the government and the military, and the opposition says is quite biased, has said that it will take until Sunday, a week after the election, until all the votes will be counted. And again, the NLD is quite concerned right now by the trickle of votes. They expect it to, a lot more would be released by the UEC at this point. And it remains to be seen just how long it's going to be before there are enough returns released that will show what the NLD is saying is inevitable, that it will win enough seats to be able to form a government.
All right, thanks very much, Steve. That is Steve Herman, our Southeast Asia correspondent, reporting from Yangon.
You're welcome, Sarah.
Well, meanwhile, European Union observers Tuesday applauded the election process in Myanmar leading up to Sunday's historic parliamentary elections. Alexander Graf Lambsdorff headed the EU mission to Myanmar, also known as Burma.
The process went better than many expected beforehand. It is also true, however, that more reforms are needed to ensure that truly genuine elections can take place in the future. We found that the process for candidate nominations and the verification of candidacies was applied in a way that, as a result, had a very, very low number of Muslim candidates remaining. We also believe that for the future, the parties would be well advised to increase the participation of women in the political life of the country.
Here in Washington, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said Monday, it's clear that Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi has had a powerful voice in bringing about much-needed reform to the country's political system, although he said more needs to be done, citing the need to amend the Constitution so she could become head of state.
We've acknowledged that there were some flaws in the political system there, and I would include in that category the law that specifically targets her by suggesting that because she has a spouse of that lives in another country, that she cannot serve as president. This is an indication that additional reforms are needed and additional work needs to be done to bring about the kind of effective representative democracy we'd like to see. Another one of those rules is that right now 25% of the parliamentary seats are guaranteed to the military. There are some imperfections, to put it mildly, but there's also no denying the rather dramatic change that we've seen inside of Burma. And the Burmese people can continue to count on the United States being a partner and strongly supporting their efforts to realize the kind of government that they'd like to have for their country.
A senior Obama administration official on East Asia, Daniel Russell, called the election a major step forward, but added that the U.S. expects the military and political leaders of Burma are going to have to listen to the results that appear to show a growing NLD landslide. Trevor Wilson, a senior fellow at Australian National University and a former ambassador to Myanmar, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty he believes the military will stay true to its word and remain out of the political process, a stark difference from its annulment of the last election contested by the NLD in 1990.
They've made public statements, not once, not twice, but repeatedly, that they didn't want to get involved in the politics anymore, that they would respect the results of the election, provided that was a free and fair election. The other reason, I think, is that Aung San Suu Kyi and the NLD have been getting to know the military quite well while they've been in parliament together. Aung San Suu Kyi went to the Armed Forces Parade in 2013 in March, and she was invited again in 2014. Couldn't attend because she was sick. So they've been getting to know each other quite well. The other thing that people sort of sometimes forget about is that she's not hostile towards the army. So I reckon they can negotiate something that's acceptable, and they can probably work together in a reasonable sort of way. They won't always agree, but maybe it'll be better than we all think.
The operative word there is negotiation. Obviously,
yes.
The NLD is on the cusp of what could be a smashing victory, but this also ushers in a period of uncertainty, doesn't it? Because it's not clear how Aung San Suu Kyi will share power with the military.
That's right. I mean, they do have to negotiate over the question of responsibility for national security, for example. In the present constitution, the chief of the army has the right to nominate the defense minister, the home affairs minister, and the border affairs minister. Now, are they going to continue with that arrangement? If they're not going to continue with that arrangement, they have to amend the constitution. I think that might take a little while. I don't think anybody's going to rush ahead with that. I mean, the other problem they have that's unresolved, of course, is the ongoing insurgencies with the Kachin people in the north and with various groups in Shan State. Whoever's the head of the government will have to work with the army in dealing with the insurgencies. You know, how do they strike an agreement for a ceasefire? How do they end the fighting? What do they do about all the people who are involved in one way or another in the fighting. That's quite complicated.
What will be the top priority of the next government, whoever takes power?
Suu Kyi has said that she wants to do things to improve the lot of the ordinary people, economically, socially, culturally. And there are a lot of things there that need to be done. Most of the reforms that have been undertaken in the last 3 or 4 years, actually the benefits haven't been felt very much by the ordinary people yet. They will be. The other big job to do is to try to bring back rule of law through the judicial system, which is very, very corrupt, and that's a big job. I mean, Aung San Suu Kyi was head of the committee supposed to be in charge of rule of law, and they didn't make much progress.
Depending on the breadth of a potential NLD victory, how likely would it be that the Constitution may be amended so that Aung San Suu Kyi herself may become the country's leader?
I think that'll take a bit of time. The army is probably not ready to do that at the moment, so I would say, you know, not next year, but maybe the year after or even later than that.
That's Trevor Wilson of Australian National University. Well, there's been quite a lot of social media reaction to the election in Myanmar. A Reuters article says it's noted that the army remains a formidable power. The article goes on to say that analysts believe a period of uncertainty still looms for the former Burma because it's not clear how Aung San Suu Kyi would share power with the generals. Meanwhile, the Associated Press notes that the slow vote count, quoting the NLD spokesman Win Tien, he says the Election Commission has been delaying intentionally because they maybe want to play a trick or something. Well, under the hashtag BurmaVotes2015, Jana Kuraman says for those who love and respect democracy, election results of Burma Votes 2015 is a great news. Mark Farahmanner tweets, NLD landslide, not a surprise. Scale of apparent success in ethnic states is. And the Irrawaddy says, NLD, a better choice than the ruling party, say ethnic politicians. This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
A new study from Johns Hopkins University suggests that diamonds may not be as rare as previously believed, and that formation of the carbon-based gem may be a much more common process than thought. But before you get excited about picking up a big diamond at a cheap price, the researchers say that this diamond-making process is actually happening deep inside Earth. They add that the only way we could see the diamonds being formed frequently below our feet is after they are brought to the Earth's surface by volcanic eruptions. And these diamonds aren't the large gem-quality stones found in valuable jewelry. They are so tiny, you'd need a microscope to see them. The researchers also found that diamonds can be formed by a natural chemical reaction in addition to the commonly understood process involving high temperatures and tremendous pressure. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, what's next for the pop group One Direction? Australia's refugee policies have been condemned by the United Nations' main human rights body. The criticism comes as officials say violent disturbances at a center for migrants on Christmas Island are being contained. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia automatically detains asylum seekers who arrive in the country without visas. Hundreds of detainees are sent for processing to offshore camps in the South Pacific, in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. At a hearing in Geneva, more than 100 countries have spoken out against Australia's refugee policies. Many have called for Canberra to scrap the detention of children and offshore processing. US Representative Divya Khosla said Australia must ensure that detainees are treated fairly.
We encourage Australia to ensure humane treatment and respect for the human rights of asylum seekers, including those processed offshore in Papua New Guinea and Nauru.
But Australian official Steve McGlynn told the hearing that the policies had prevented asylum seekers from risking their lives at sea by trying to reach Australia by boat and put pressure on people trafficking syndicates.
Australia's border policies have been successful in severely damaging the insidious people smuggling trade and by extension have saved countless lives at sea. The ensuing substantial and sustained reduction in maritime ventures as a result of Australia's managed approach to migration has resulted in Australia being able to settle more refugees for our humanitarian programs.
At the Christmas Island Detention Centre, authorities say disturbances that broke out Sunday have ended. They were sparked when a Kurdish Iranian inmate who'd escaped the camp was found dead outside. Inmates lit fires and barricaded themselves in a compound with weapons. Officials say that calm has been restored following negotiations with detainees. Christmas Island is located about 2,500 kilometres northwest of the Australian city of Perth and 380 kilometres south of the Indonesian island of Java. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artists. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
This is International Edition. Fans of the One Direction have just enjoyed a tour, but are now wondering what's next for the pop group. VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald joins International Edition's Jim Stevenson to tell us the latest.
Where are the members of One Direction going to go from here?
I might never be knight in shining armor.
Could be in four different directions. I was going to say five different directions, but of course, they're a quartet now. Zayn Malik left earlier in the year. On October 31st, One Direction finished its world tour back home in England in the city of Sheffield.
When I first saw you from across the room, I could tell that you were curious. Oh yeah, girl, I hope you're sure what you're looking for.
Neil Horan went on Twitter. He promised they would be back following a hiatus. We will have to wait and see.
Right, can't wait.
Their fifth album, Made in the AM, drops on November 13th. So that is coming up fast. And of course, it's going to be releasing on the same day that Justin Bieber is releasing his Promise album. So it's going to be a huge fight for number one to see who prevails. 1D has four more concert dates posted. They're going to have three U.S. radio shows in California and Texas. That happens the first week of December. And then on December 10th, they appear with Hozier in Birmingham, England. And they may also appear 3 days later on the season finale of The X Factor. They began as five separate performers on The X Factor back in 2010, but Simon Cowell, being the pop mastermind that he is, saw these lads would work better together than apart, and of course the rest was history.
That's right. Many directions into One Direction.
That's right.
Well, I'm sure that the proceeds from touring might lure them back out, because that's pretty good money.
Forever is a long time. We have seen many boy bands come back together. On the other hand, it could be that one or more members of One Direction turn into breakout solo stars. In that case, it would be pretty difficult to lure them back into the fold. The other members might want it, but at this point, it's anybody's guess. We'll just have to wait and see how
and
it plays out.
We've seen that. We've seen that a few times with groups where they would split apart, do great on their own, and then there was always that talk about, oh, is there a reunion coming?
Yeah, you have Justin Timberlake and Beyonce just as two examples of breakout stars who will probably never get back together with their old groups. Mm-hmm. But then you have groups like New Kids on the Block and the Backstreet Boys, who have reunited and are touring.
Well, we'll see what happens, which direction this will all take. But we know that we can go one direction each week and listen to the Top 20 Countdown with Ray McDonald. Ray's also on Twitter. Hit it, Ray.
Ray on the hits.
Follow him. Thanks so much for dropping by, Ray.
You got it, Jim. Thank you.
And that's our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States and the Central Asian countries of Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan have issued a joint declaration of partnership and cooperation. The five Central Asian countries have committed to deepening ties on several fronts, including lowering barriers to regional trade. They have agreed to improve the business climate in the region to attract foreign direct investment and facilitate entrepreneurship and broaden business and investment contacts among the Central Asian countries and the United States. Protecting the environment through the use of clean energy and green technology is also a priority. In an effort to prevent terrorism, trafficking of weapons of mass destruction, illicit drugs, and human beings, all five nations have agreed to enhance their cooperation on border security. Under the joint declaration, the Central Asian nations have committed to supporting Afghanistan and its development as an independent, peaceful, thriving state, recognizing that the situation in Afghanistan remains an important factor in security and stability for the entire region. They have agreed to contribute to global and regional nonproliferation efforts. This includes abiding by the provisions of the Treaty on a Nuclear Weapons-Free Zone in Central Asia and pursuing entry into force of the treaty's protocol. In order to more fully integrate into the global community, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan have agreed to expand their people-to-people ties and encourage wider educational, cultural, and business exchanges. In a part of the world where ensuring that human rights for all continues to be a problem, it is significant that all five signatories to the Joint Declaration of Partnership and Cooperation have agreed to protect human rights. They further committed to develop democratic institutions and strengthen civil society, and to uphold the United Nations Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the Helsinki Final Act. Going forward, the Joint Declaration of Partnership and Cooperation will provide a way to strengthen the economic, political, governance, and security ties that facilitate cooperation between the United States and these five Central Asian countries.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.